Blog Talk Radio.
I tell you what, it's been a while since I've been able to talk to you guys, too. It's been a wild, busy bowl season and holiday season. I hope everybody had a safe and Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. So, all the playoff games are done, minus, obviously, the national championship game. Playoff games are done. Bowl season is done. Only thing left is Ohio State and Oregon to square off. We're going to, tonight on the show, we're gonna talk a little bit about what happened in each of those semifinal games, Alabama falling to Ohio State and Florida State just flat out getting embarrassed in the second half against Oregon. We'll talk a little bit about that, recap some of the other great games that were on tap to watch over the bowl season. There were some good games and some great matchups that turned into classic, just instant classic games. Then we'll talk a little bit about, obviously, the national championship matchup. I want to get into that. I want to get some of the fans' thoughts on that. And I've already seen some of the reactions out there and some people's thoughts on what might go down in that national championship game with Oregon and Ohio State. It's going to be a good matchup. I like it. And as much as we all talked about, did the playoff committee get it right? Yeah, I'd say they got it right with the four teams that they picked. Now, Florida State falling flat on their face in the second half, no excuse there, but it happens. And against a team like Oregon, you can't turn the ball over and give that offense more opportunities than they're already going to get. The way Florida State played in that first half, it was pretty solid on both sides of the ball for Florida State. I know people want to say that defense couldn't stop them. The defense stopped them on fourth down. The defense held them to a field goal. The defense kept them in the game in the first half. I mean, that's about as simple as it gets there. Second half, the offense just, again, put the defense behind the eight ball, and the defense could not come up with it. I mean, when the defense is out there the entire third quarter, you're not going to get great results, what we saw. But again, we'll recap a little of those games. We'll talk about the national championship game. Then we'll talk about some key players transferring. I'll go ahead and get through that now. Player transfers notable to get on there that are transferring this offseason or have made interest in transferring. Everett Golson from Notre Dame, Braxton Miller. And then Jeff Driscoll is transferring. Nowhere big on him, I don't think. I'm pretty sure it was one of the Louisiana schools, but not a big-name school. I don't think that would be a big story there. But the story for Ohio State after the season, and maybe you get some fans' thoughts on this too, some fans, and everybody needs to start thinking about this, does Ohio State have, I mean, they have a serious quarterback issue there. I've asked this to our Facebook followers out there. Ohio State, they've got three quarterbacks on roster right now that are all amazing quarterbacks. I say amazing. I know we haven't seen a full season from Cardale Jones yet. We've only seen him in two games, but man, has he been brilliant in two games. JT Barrett, we didn't expect this type of season. He put them in a position to be playing for a national championship. You had that, and then you had Braxton Miller at the beginning of the season. Those three guys, amazing quarterbacks. They're not going to all stick around. I said Braxton Miller is probably going to transfer. The question is, JT Barrett, Cardale Jones, they're going to battle it out maybe in the spring if one of them doesn't transfer. I mean, could one of them experiment and test the waters and say, you know what, obviously we're both really good, and I don't want to wait another year to be a starter, and I don't want to risk not being a starter here. So keep an eye on that story with Ohio State. That's a developing story there with JT Barrett and Cardale Jones, second and third string quarterbacks coming into the 2014 season, and both of them end up being starters by season's end. Wow. So, well, we won't spend too much time later on that, but again, that is something, a story to follow. And then we'll talk a little bit about these bowl games, like I said, and as demanded by a lot of our fans have been asking for this for a while, fans and followers, and I appreciate you guys following College Football Today on our Facebook page. It's been a great season, a wild season, and it could get more exciting here. We have the playoff coming to an end, the national championship. By the way, throw this out there, and I'll get this out there early, and I don't know how many fans are paying attention to this or not, but the two semifinal games set records. I mean, they were huge, huge TV ratings. I believe the Alabama-Ohio State game got higher TV ratings, and rightfully so. I think with the Florida State game, I think most people had turned that game off, I don't know, 6 minutes into the third quarter. It's probably true. But anyways, they set records, and it was, you know, I think college football, and I've heard some people talk about this, I've heard some analysts talk about this, and some radio figureheads talk about it. New Year's Day, has anybody, think back to all the New Year's Day games we've ever watched. Think back to all the New Year's Day times we've been watching and wanting to watch some college football. Has anybody experienced what we experienced this year on New Year's Day? College football did what they were supposed to do on New Year's Day. We had great games, and college football set the tone on New Year's Day. Great games, great matchups, huge TV ratings. And you're thinking, okay, it's just going to get better from here, right? The college football playoff going into the 2015 season, they're going to do it again. They're going to have a great New Year's Day lineup. Well, guess what? The whoever is in charge of scheduling these games has decided that the New Year's Day, and I heard about this today, maybe some of y'all have heard about it today, but New Year's Day will no longer be the day that hosts the two semifinal games in the college football playoff. They're going to play the two semifinal games on New Year's Eve 2015. I think it's a horrible decision, and at this point, they have even announced that they are discussing playing both those games at the exact same time. That would be horrible for college football to play. First of all, those games deserve to be on a New Year's Day or post New Year's Day date, and then to play them at the same time, you're doing injustice to college football. I doubt the playing them at the exact same time will be passed. But what has already passed and is in the lineup and is set is playing them on New Year's Eve. And I think that will ruin what we had this year. This year on New Year's Day, you can't argue. It was a great day. Every college football fan anticipating the two semifinal games and then having some other games played that day, it set up well. I thought it was a great day and a great day for college football. But that is one strange instance that I would like to bring up, and I think some college football fans out there that probably have not been paying attention that far ahead. I mean, I know at a glance I'm not really looking that far ahead into scheduling, but wow, to have those games moved from New Year's Day and move them to New Year's Eve just doesn't seem like the right thing to do if you're trying to make these things huge and trying to boost these TV ratings. Certainly doesn't seem like the greatest idea to me. Just my opinion, though. All right. We're going to take a quick break. I'm going to open phone lines. By the way, what I was trying to say is we will have some college football trivia night tonight. If college football fans, if you, any of you guys out there want to call in, we're going to have phone lines open, 773-897-6179. If you want to test your college football trivia knowledge, you can call in tonight. I have questions prepared. Don't worry. They're not anything from really the, I won't say there's not any, but there are very few questions that date back prior to 1950. I know that that would be just horrible. But here's what we do. You can call in. We'll get you on, and we'll ask you three questions. The first one you get wrong, you are out. There is no going any further. You have to answer all three questions correctly, and you are a winner. And what do you win? Well, you get some 15 seconds of fame here on a College Football Today live podcast, and, of course, we will figure out on our Facebook page what else we can do for you. We have prizes we'll give away. We'll get that all straightened out after we have trivia night. So, again, if you want to go ahead and get phone lines loaded for our trivia night, 773-897-6179. Outside of that, until we have some callers, we're going to talk a little bit about the College Football National Championship, and we'll talk a little bit about Winston versus Mariota in the NFL draft. We'll talk about all that and more. Of course, your phone calls when we come back. You're listening to College Football Today live, powered by The Fan. Mentioned how busy and just how crazy a bowl season this was and how great Christmas and New Year's was. I hope everybody again had a safe Merry Christmas and Happy New Year. I know I did. Many of you out there following College Football Today have y'all have commented on Facebook. You've seen the reason we didn't have a show the last couple weeks. I was ill, did not have much of a voice, and that would not be good. And the other reason, and we almost didn't have a show tonight. My wife is expecting our first child. I figured I'd give her a shout-out tonight, and she is listening. She's expecting our first child. Baby is due next week. So at any moment, College Football Today could just crash, and that's because I'm fumbling to get out of the house and get to the hospital or get her to the hospital where we can have our first baby. Very excited about that. And it's going to be a baby girl. So we're very excited about that. And that is, oh boy, I've been warned so many times. Yes, the challenges. Oh, you have no idea what it's going to be like. Oh, you can kiss this goodbye. Kiss your free time goodbye. Look, I will deal with it. Or my wife will deal with it. One of the two. Oh boy. All right, let's get back to college football here. Again, I hope everybody, again, had a safe, happy holidays. It was great here. Lots of family got together, and that's what it's all about. All about. That and some football. All right, let's dive into these bowl games. Let's talk about these bowl games. Let's go ahead and get the elephant out of the room if you have to clear the room. Yes, I am a Florida State fan. Yes, I am still alive after the thumping, the drumming, the destruction, the fall of the Florida State Seminoles to the Oregon Ducks. Now look, huge props to Oregon. They came in there focused, fully prepared to do whatever it was and whatever was necessary to get things done and to take down Jameis Winston, Florida State. And I know that probably 90% of the nation cheered as well as Jameis Winston came off that field as a loser for the first time in his collegiate career. And, you know, that's fine. I get it. When you're on top, and this is true, I know Alabama fans can attest to this. I know some SEC fans can attest to this, and we may touch on that a little bit too. But let's be honest. When you're on top, people are gunning for you. People don't like to see you win all the time. And that's fine. I think Oregon played a great game. And where Florida State came up short was, you know, it's been a story all season long with Florida State, and that is their turnovers. Now, most of the time throughout the season, it's been Jameis Winston's turnovers. Throws two or three interceptions in the first half. And then they have to come back, and Jameis Winston's able to bring them back. Well, this time, it wasn't all Jameis Winston. This time, I think the young, inexperienced players showed through for Florida State this time. They depended a lot on freshmen in this game and inexperienced players. Now, I'm not creating some excuse here. Again, Oregon, great game. They did what they had to do. They made a statement. They finished the first time anybody's been able to do it in 29 games. 30 games, actually. So, again, first time anybody's been able to do it. They finished. They beat Florida State. But the turnovers by the young players, Dalvin Cook, two fumbles. You had Jesus Wilson fumble. I believe he's a sophomore. You had another pass that was tipped by a receiver that is normally caught by most Florida State wide receiver standards anyway. Tip pass that went right into Oregon's hands. Then you had Jameis Winston. At that point, you know, Jameis Winston's fumble, at that point, it's a two or three possession game, and Jameis Winston's pressing on fourth down. Yeah, it was a rough third quarter. You don't turn the ball over five times, I don't care who you're playing, and still win. It doesn't happen. So, tough game for Florida State. Tough game for Florida State fans. Tough game for them to end their streak on. But you know what? It was a good run, and my hat goes off again to Oregon for being able to finish and be able to just take advantage. It's not just so much the turnovers. You got to take advantage of those turnovers, and Oregon did that and did that well. Somebody said to me, you know, the tempo of Oregon killed Florida State. No. Tempo didn't kill Florida State in the first half, and Oregon was running much faster in the first half. Where they got it even faster, but I don't think it really hurt them as much, was in, yes, the late third quarter and early fourth quarter to make sure they put this thing away. I think this thing was done with about 4 minutes left in the third quarter. But it was the turnovers. The turnovers broke Florida State's back. Other than that, again, the first half, I thought it was a great game. Moving on to the Alabama-Ohio State game. And I asked this poll question on our Facebook page and said, hey, college ball fans, which game was more shocking? Was it the Alabama falling to Ohio State, or was it Florida State losing to Oregon? There was a few out there that said, yeah, it was shocking to see Oregon beat Florida State. I think it was shocking the way they lost to them. Yes, that was surprising to me. As a Florida State fan, and I want to know, maybe some Florida State fans out there, maybe they can shine some light on this. What was more surprising, that you lost or the way you lost? A lot of Florida State fans don't really like me, and it's funny that my own fans don't like me, but my own fans don't like me because I generally tend to be a realist type fan. I tackle this and I look at it honestly. I don't live in this dream world of a fan that nothing can touch me, nothing can beat my team when they're on this streak. No, I'm one of those that after 6 weeks into the season, I said, okay, who's going to beat them because they're not going undefeated. So, again, Florida State fans may not like me or my opinion on them, but I came into this game not expecting to win. Oh, you can call me a traitor. You can call me a sour fan, a fair weather fan, whatever you want. No, I'm still a hardcore fan of Florida State. But you had to know going into that game. You can't be blind to it. Florida State had issues all season long. They were able to come back from those issues and win. You can't do it against a team like Oregon. And I don't just mean a high-quality opponent. Georgia Tech's a very high-quality opponent, but you played lights out in that game. And you still only won by two. Oregon did what they had to do. They got it done, and that's what I expected to see from Oregon in that game, no doubt. But as far as Alabama and Ohio State goes, that game to me was more shocking because I truly felt that Ohio State, Cardale Jones, I thought he would crack under the pressure finally. He started one game, and that was against Wisconsin. Wisconsin is not Alabama. Alabama is bigger, faster on defense, and they have a more physical offense. I know Melvin Gordon, and I know Wisconsin has a tough run game, but come on, that run game didn't have anything like what Alabama was showing. So that leads me into the national championship discussion here. You look what Ohio State did to Alabama. They beat them at their own game. They controlled the tempo. They controlled the ground game. Ohio State had some big-time runs, people. They were opening up big lanes to run in. Now, going into this national championship with Ohio State, we've all said that Ohio State did the unthinkable. They beat the mighty SEC. They knocked the SEC out of the national championship game. Now they've got Oregon. By the way, for the second consecutive season, for those keeping track and SEC fans that are keeping track, for the second consecutive season, an SEC team will not win the national championship. I said it midway through the season. I'm going to say it now, and I know a lot of fans will label me as an SEC hater. Call me what you want. I'm just calling it like I see it. But the SEC is falling this year. They've fallen. What we've seen from them, the mighty SEC West that everybody put on this pedestal, that everybody in the media, ESPN, everybody who taught college football said, man, that SEC West is just daunting. But they never played a quality opponent outside their conference this year. Outside of Auburn playing Kansas State, that was a great game, and Kansas State probably should have won that game. But outside of that game, they played a total, and this is including Kansas State, four Power 5 conference teams. There are seven teams in that conference, that division of the SEC, and only four Power 5 non-conference foes. I'm sorry. There should be a minimum at least one on every one of those teams scheduled, and there wasn't. So did it shock me? Was it surprising to me to see the SEC West go 2-5 in their bowls? Not at all. Not at all. Was it shocking to me to see Georgia Tech run their wishbone offense all over Mississippi State? Not at all. I'm not saying the SEC is not the best conference in the last decade. I've said that. They are the best conference in the last decade. But guess what? Things are changing. Tides are turning. Alabama's still going to be good. Don't get me wrong there. LSU, I question if they're ever going to get back with Les Miles at the helm. I don't think they will. Arkansas has a chance to be good next season. But I think we're all starting to see that other conferences, big teams are stepping up to the plate and they're answering the bell. They are making great statements in big-time games. SEC East, on the other hand, as we've all seen the letter that they mailed, the memo that they sent to the SEC West and said, thanks for making us look bad, signed the SEC East. The irony there. But the SEC East went 5-0 in their bowl games. Tough bowl season for the SEC West. Now this national championship, Oregon, Ohio State. Who's going to win? Who's your pick? It's the offense versus, I'd give the edge on offense to Oregon. The defense, I'd give the edge to Ohio State. So it's great that both teams' strengths, I think, play to the other team's strengths, and their weaknesses, well, they kind of play to the other side too. You know, you look at Ohio State, they're nothing flashy on offense, but they get it done, and they've gotten to this point. And they faced a lot of adversity. You talk about, I know Florida State fans, and this is no disrespect to Florida State at all, I know Florida State has faced a lot of adversity this season, and everybody talks about the off-the-field distractions. What about the other off-the-field distractions for Ohio State? They had a player commit suicide. At the beginning of the season, they had Braxton Miller, who was supposed to be their Heisman Trophy-winning quarterback coming into the season. He's supposed to be up for the Heisman, supposed to be up there right there with Marcus Mariota and make a statement for the Heisman. And he's injured before the season even starts. And then 2 weeks into the season, you have a loss to Virginia Tech. Man, your season's done, right? Okay, all the fans, I want y'all to think back to this. When the Big Ten lost, when Michigan State lost to Oregon and Ohio State lost their game to Virginia Tech, we all pretty much said, well, there goes the Big Ten. The Big Ten's not in the playoff this year. Ha! They're going to be the ones left out. And then it turned out... Wow, look at Ohio State with JT Barrett. JT Barrett making a statement trying to get back into the Heisman race. Are you kidding? You had the Braxton Miller injury. You had the player commit suicide. A week, and don't get me wrong, I think this was a week before the conference championship game with Wisconsin, or the week of. And then you had JT Barrett go down with a season-ending injury. And we all thought, okay, well, this third stringer is going to come out here. He's going to look great for a while, and then he's going to crack under the pressure. No, he just put on a show and destroyed Wisconsin, shut them down, and then scored all over them. Then he goes to Alabama. He goes to play Alabama, and we all thought, hey, this kid will crack under Nick Saban's defensive pressure, right? Not at all. Down 21-6. I had already chalked up the win. Come on, half the country chalked up the win. And then here he comes. Here comes Cardale Jones. Here comes the run game at Ohio State. And here comes this team that's got something to prove, that's focused and is peaking at the right time. I tell you what, this is going to be a great national championship game. You know, I've asked some fans, I said, hey, is this going to be a high-scoring affair where we see like a 63-49 or like a 49-42 type game, and just whoever has the ball last, because these teams aren't going to be able to stop each other. They're just going to keep scoring. Or is it going to be like what we saw out of Auburn and Oregon just a few years ago, where the defense finally kicked it up a notch, and you saw a pretty low-scoring game, and it was a solid national championship game, classic national championship game. It's hard to see, but I tell you what, For Ohio State, the keys for them winning that game, and I do think they can win this game, it's going to be a challenge, no doubt, to stop Oregon's offense. That is the biggest challenge in that game. But I feel like if they can get just a couple stops and then play the way Florida State played, and I know, I'm comparing them to Florida State, I know. But the way Florida State played against Oregon in the first half, that's the ingredients to beating them. Keeping that offense off the field, getting the stops when you can, holding up the field goals if you can, and then taking a lot of time off the clock when you have a possession, when you have the ball, take a lot of time off the clock and score points. That's the ingredients. That's the only way you're going to beat Oregon. You cannot let that offense stay on the field and just continue to rack up yards and rack up points. When you have a chance to consume a lot of clock, you've got to do it, and that's where I think Ohio State's got the edge. Their run game, I think they can run the ball on Ohio State the same way Florida State was running the ball on Oregon. When it comes down to coaching, I believe I give the advantage to Urban Meyer. Urban Meyer's a great coach. I know I've got some fans out there on our Facebook page that truly feel that Urban Meyer is one of the greatest coaches in college football right now, even better than Nick Saban. Somebody's probably out there choking right now, going, what? Did he just really say that? No, I'm not the one saying that. Somebody else said that. But I think he's a great coach, no doubt. Is he better than Nick Saban? I don't know. Maybe. We'll find out if he can stop this Oregon team. As far as player leadership goes with these two teams, Oregon, you know, with Marcus Mariota, I don't think there's a better leader right now in the game. His team feeds off of his fire, and by his fire, don't get me wrong, he's definitely not a loud individual, loud and proud individual, but he is the guy speaks volumes with his calmness and the way he can stay composed. So I definitely give the X factor there with Marcus Mariota. As far as Ohio State's X factor, it is Cardale Jones. It is their third-string quarterback. What kind of game can he have? Can he have a third straight game of playing solid, brilliant football for a third-string kid who's seen the field twice, both, one in a conference championship, one in a playoff semifinal game, and now his third in a national championship game? If he wins all three of those games, can you imagine? Look what he's going to have on his resume. Yikes. Now all of y'all want to hear, what's my pick? Who am I going to pick, Oregon or Ohio State? You know, going down there through there, and I chalked them up. I said, look, the defense is Ohio State. The offense is Oregon. The coaching I give to Ohio State. The player leadership I give to Marcus Mariota. The X factor, I think they both have an X factor on their team with Cardale Jones and Marcus Mariota. Who wins? Who wins the game? Something tells me, though, that Ohio State, as good as they're playing, as great as they have looked in big games, I feel like Oregon is the one that is playing the best right now. Top to bottom, they are playing the best. The defense plays bend but don't break. We saw what they did against Florida State in the second. Look, don't get me wrong. Florida State didn't just, yes, they coughed up the ball, but Oregon saw something. They knew to go ripping for the ball. I could see it every game. Florida State fans, you've got to say you've been able to see it in games all season long where, Dalvin Cook especially, running the ball, and that ball would be out there. When he gets into traffic, I'd like to see him put two hands on the ball. But the guy is young, and he loves to fight for extra yards. I love that about him, but, man, that is a double-edged sword. That can get you both ways if you're not careful. You can either score it big or lose big, and they lost big. I think Oregon's defense is going to come out there with a chip on their shoulder because of everybody saying that they're going to be Ohio State's going to be able to run the ball. I think they're going to go out there and try to force Cardale Jones to beat them with his arm. Try to prove that Cardale Jones is definitely the passer that Ohio State fans think he is. They want to prove that he can win with his arm. They're not going to let him beat him on the ground. If they do give up the ground game, Ohio State's got a real shot in this game. They really do, because that's what's going to be controlling the tempo. We're going to take another quick break here. Again, if you want to load the lines up here, we're ready for some college football trivia. 773-897-6179. 773-897-6179. Again, let's have fun with it, guys. If you don't want to play college football trivia, if you just want to call in and give a prediction for the national championship game, if there's something you want to talk about, recapping some of the other bowl games, we'll get into those bowl games too. But anything you guys want to talk about or college football trivia, you can call in 773-897-6179. You're listening to College Football Today live, powered by the fans. you out there sending a couple of Facebook messages about some of the topics we've already talked about, but I'll throw these out there anyway. Let's see. We were talking about players transferring at the top of the hour. At the beginning of the show, I mentioned some players that were on the transfer list. One that I left off, and we still not received confirmation of whether he's leaving or not, and that is Hackenberg, the quarterback at Penn State, talking about transferring. He still has not announced or confirmed whether he's coming back for another season at Penn State. He has shown interest in transferring. But word is that a lot of their fans at Penn State are not happy about it, according to the message I've just received. So I thanks for that. And then speaking of players leaving, let's go ahead and tackle this Marcus Mariota versus Jameis Winston in the NFL draft. It's not been officially announced. We don't know for sure that Jameis Winston is leaving. One would think with the draft stock that he has, I mean, he's projected as a early quarterback to go, most likely first round. And Marcus Mariota, same thing. Expected to maybe go higher than Jameis Winston. It just depends on which team's recruiting and which team wants that kind of system. I will say this, and take it with however you want. You can call me just a Jameis Winston fan, a Florida State fan who's trying to puff up his quarterback for the NFL draft. I couldn't care less whether he goes pro or doesn't go pro. I think they've got a pretty solid recruiting class and a couple of solid quarterbacks at Florida State that are coming up. I watched one in spring last year, very talented, very fast. So that's very exciting there. I'm not saying at all he's a Jameis Winston or he's the next great, super great quarterback. I'm not saying that at all. I'm just saying that I think Florida State would be okay. I think Florida State would still be a top 10 team. Yes, I went there. But I would like to say this. Jameis Winston, his arm compared to Marcus Mariota's arm. Marcus Mariota throws a great-looking ball when the wide receiver is wide open, doesn't he? I mean, when there's not anybody within 5 to 10 yards of the guy he's throwing to, it looks great. It's pretty. Perfect spiral, right on the numbers. But when he's having to throw something in a tight window, I'm not quite sure if he's the greatest quarterback at that. If you're talking about quarterbacks that are more NFL ready, obviously we've heard all the draft scouts, team scouts, and analysts out there say that Jameis Winston tends to be the more pro ready. I tend to agree with that. He's lined up under center. He runs more of a pro-style offense. The question out there is, can he continue to do what he's done in college, and that is just throw tight spirals into tight windows and continue to read defense as well as he has? I mean, if you look at the throws that Jameis Winston makes, and a lot of people out there right now saying, oh, look at his interceptions this year. He's thrown 17 or 18 interceptions. Wow, are you kidding? He's throwing a lot of passes out there that are based on timing and where a receiver is supposed to be in their route. And he's got young receivers that he's thrown to, and I guarantee you the majority of his interceptions this year, you look at them, And they're players not finishing their routes, players that are not running the right route. And that's, I mean, yes, there are plays where he has forced it and he's pressed a little bit. But if you look at what he's all about and the way Jimbo Fisher runs that offense, that, you know, it's throw to a spot or, hey, I know that guy's not open yet. He's supposed to be making his cut right now. I'm going to throw it to where he's supposed to be. That's a lot of what the NFL is, because you're not going to find wide-open players in the NFL. Yes, there might be the blown coverage every now and again, maybe once or twice per game. I mean, that doesn't happen often. But in Oregon's offense, they depend on guys being wide open. it's either a bubble screen or we're pump faking the bubble screen and throwing it deep to a guy who's got nobody around him for 10 yards. Or we've got some, you know, route running across the middle with a guy wide open because you fooled somebody with a reverse or a fake triple option reverse. Again, it's nothing to take away what Marcus Mariota has accomplished. He's a phenomenal quarterback, phenomenal decision maker. But we're talking accuracy. We're talking ability. And who's more pro-ready? There's no doubt in it. I don't think anybody's mind that Jameis Winston's the more pro-ready guy. Now, obviously, fans out there are on the wagon of, no, we don't want the baggage that comes along with Jameis Winston. We don't want that trash on our NFL team. All right, okay, let's get some things straight. I'm not at all defending Jameis Winston and some of the stuff that he has done. He's clearly got some off-the-field issues he's got to clean up. That's why I think it would be beneficial to him to come back for one more season at Florida State. Speaking of him coming back for one more season, his announcement won't be made till after the national championship game. Some people criticize him for that, saying he wants all the spotlight on him, and I couldn't disagree more. If he wanted all the spotlight on him, he'd go ahead and make his decision now and let his decision hang over the national championship game. And talk about it, because you know if he made the decision whether he was going pro or not going pro, either way, it would be brought up big time all week long, and that's all we'd hear about, and we wouldn't hear much about the national championship game. So for that, for him waiting and saying, I want the rest of the college football season to play out and to settle, I commend him for that, whether his decision is to stay or go or not. I mentioned on our Facebook page today that I had a bombshell to drop on our show tonight. I don't know how many listeners we have right now, but this is what I was talking about earlier. I said on our Facebook page that there was a big-time major factor that I think it's definitely a factor for Jameis Winston and his decision on whether to go pro or not. It is a big-time factor, and it's not being talked about by many at all. I've not heard one analyst, not one anybody write about it or talk about it. And that is, we've all heard the craziness of everything that's gone on off the field with him. We've all heard about the rape allegations, and the rape allegations are the key note into whether he returns or not. It's definitely a factor. And you say, what are you talking about, the rape allegations? Those are over and done with. Well, there's one other factor that's coming into this, and that is a civil suit. The accuser has promised there will be a civil suit. They promised that a year ago. Well, why hasn't there been a civil suit yet? Well, because he ain't worth anything right now. He doesn't have a dime to his name, except that when he enters the NFL, he'll have millions of dollars. Millions of dollars. And if he enters the NFL draft this year and gets drafted, here comes the civil suit and here comes the settlement. Let me spell that out for some of you who are still not following me here. If he enters the NFL draft, she will file her civil suit, he will settle and pay her off to go away, and she will have gotten what she's been after this whole time. Now, I know a lot of you turning me off right now because I said that's what she's been after this whole time. Look, I'll say this. If he is guilty of rape, then I want nothing more than to him to face the stiffest penalties. And he could still face penalties, people. Just because he wasn't charged doesn't mean he can't be charged later. So again, I'm saying at this point, all we have to go on is that she's going to be after him for some money on a civil suit. Three different investigations have been done. Three. And all three have come to the same conclusion. So I say to you tonight, the biggest factor that I think in his decision, outside of whether he should get a college degree or his baseball decision, believe me, if he's got a good lawyer, he's talking about the statute of limitations in the state of Florida. Now, if this is true, if he is really wanting to come back and not enter that NFL draft, he has to stay at Florida State two more years for this thing to go away. That's unlikely. That's highly unlikely. I don't see him coming back for 2 years. I could see it for one, though. But the original complaint, the original incident that was reported to the police happened December 2012. That means this accuser, the girl, has until December of 2016 to file a civil suit. You know, if he's got a good attorney, that they have mentioned this, that they have talked to him about this. This is a factor. Maybe I'm putting too much emphasis on it. Maybe not. We'll see. We'll see. He's never going to come out and admit to that. Of course not. But as far as draft stock goes, I know some people say that if he comes back, his draft stock's just going to continue to plummet. Are you kidding? If he comes back and has a clean slate and plays great, has a great season, doesn't have to be his Heisman season, and doesn't have to be, you know, and doesn't have to be perfect. He could still throw 12 interceptions. If he comes out and just has a better season than what he had this past season, and he's able to keep himself focused and clean off from his off-the-field issues and doesn't have any off-the-field issues over the course of next year, people tend to forget about that stuff. Now, of course, those questions will come up when he enters the draft, but again, another year would do him some good. Argue with me, say, no, he needs to go to the draft now, get paid. He's going to be a first-round pick either this year or next year, whichever year he decides to come out. Which one will be a bust, Marcus Mariota or Jameis Winston? I don't think either one will be a bust, but Marcus Mariota, you got to put him in the right system, and I don't think Chip Kelly's going to get him. And I think that's the only system that will work for Marcus Mariota. The guy is a product of a spread option team, and he's accomplished a lot of great things in his college career, but to me, he is not got the goods for the NFL job. I could be wrong, but we'll that remains to be seen. We'll see how that goes. Let's talk a little bit about the bowl games. Man, I mentioned the SEC West earlier, Ole Miss and TCU. Wow, 42-3. A drumming there. Did not expect Bad Bo to show up for their bowl game, did you? Sure did. Georgia Tech, 49-34 over Mississippi State. Great showing by Georgia Tech. Great statement game for Georgia Tech, beating what arguably is the second best team in the SEC. Jumping around some other bowl games that didn't involve the SEC. You had Michigan State and Baylor. Baylor, man, they just self-destruct there in the last few minutes. Must have felt, you know, they probably asked themselves after they beat TCU at the last minute of that game, that big win they had over TCU, where they scored like 21 unanswered points late in the game to win that game and stay where they were at. Baylor must have been asking themselves, man, what's it like for TCU to drop a game like that? And then they have Michigan State go on this mad tear and win by 1 point over Baylor. Well, guess what, Baylor? You found out what it was like. Arizona State, 36. Duke, 31. Great game. Duke was down, came back, took the lead, then coughed it up against Arizona State, and Arizona State took care of business. Great game by Duke, though. By the way, Duke has played two great bowl games back-to-back seasons. They nearly beat Johnny Manziel and Texas A&M, and they've nearly beaten another top 15 team, Arizona State. Duke's up and coming. They're going to get over the hump. As long as they can keep David Cutcliffe there and keep him happy, they're going to be great. Clemson, 40. Oklahoma, 6. This was another surprising game to me. I really thought Clemson would win. I didn't think Oklahoma was only going to score 6 points. Bob Stoops. At what point does he get put on the hot seat there at Oklahoma? Sure, they won a national championship with him. They've played in a lot of BCS bowl games. But I certainly, I would have expected better out of Oklahoma. UCLA, 40. Kansas State, 35. Great game there. I'm telling you, I looked at the lineup for these games, and I thought, man, there's a couple that jump out at me, but I wasn't overly excited. And then these games started happening, and it's just been... It was a great bowl season, and the playoff kicking off, that was great for college football. It's been a great year for college football. I said, and I'll say it again, I know I keep saying this about every time we get on here and we talk college football, but this has been a phenomenal season. I told fans at the beginning of the season it would be a historical season. It would be a great season. Take it all in. Watch as much of it as you could. Sure enough, it did not disappoint this year. You had the drama with the playoff committee that, by the way, they really need to work on that. I mean, sure, we might have gotten down to the right four teams, but, man, the way we got down to those four teams, I would just rather them not show me the four teams they're picking until the till after the season, till after the conference championships have decided it, and then they release, okay, here's our top four. Because this changing around week to week, that was rough. That was rough. But back to some bowl games. South Carolina inching by Miami. That was a must-win game, I think, for Spurrier. Spurrier had to come off this season. A very disappointing season for South Carolina fans, who, by the way, struggled greatly to sell any tickets for this bowl game that they were going to. You can tell the fan base was very disappointed. I think Spurrier, he's got a lot to prove next season. Otherwise, I think he eventually retires. I think he's getting close to that as it is. He would love to play more golf, and I think he played a little too much golf this season based on the type of season South Carolina played. Florida, let's see, surviving East Carolina 28-20. I bet you that scared the poop out of some of those Gators, right? Yes. Yes, I threw that out there. We all know, we've all seen the pictures. We've all seen the stories. This kid's got to be embarrassed beyond all belief, and the players are never going to let this go. You know, in film practice, you know, in anything, he's got a nickname now. You know he does, especially when he had to go to the locker room, change pants, and leave his crap pants. No pun intended there, but yes, pun intended. He had to leave his pants in there hanging up. I hope they didn't leave him hanging up. But if you didn't see the play, go on there. It's on YouTube. There's a ton of it. He scores a touchdown, and he's trotting off the field, and you got a couple players kind of looking at him funny, and you got a trainer who runs up to him, who's escorting him, getting him to someone who's got a huge towel they can wrap around him. The guy pooped his pants when he scored a touchdown. Pretty exciting moment for this kid. Great game, though. Great game. Oh, boy. Wisconsin and Auburn. That was another good one. Another good one. I know Auburn lost in that game, and I had picked Auburn to win that game. But Wisconsin, you know, showing signs of life, being without a head coach and having their athletic director step in once again to coach them in a bowl game. Great story there. Arkansas handing it to Texas. Texas, Charlie Strong, you've got a lot of work to do this offseason, and you need to get this recruiting thing done. So Texas fans can get excited again. College football is always good when there's about 10 teams that are, when they're good, college football is at its best. Texas, Florida State, Alabama, Ohio State thrown in there, Oregon, of course, USC, the Trojans, we'd love to see them back. Texas A&M beating West Virginia 45-37, great game there. Notre Dame, this is another game that shocked me. Notre Dame beating LSU in the Music City Bowl here in Nashville, Tennessee. That was an exciting game, and I have to say, LSU, you got screwed out of a touchdown early in that game, right before halftime. I believe LSU should have gotten that touchdown. You know, I mean, woulda, coulda, shoulda, I guess, right? I can't believe the review. Even after the review, they didn't call it a touchdown, but that's what's happening. That's what happens. Notre Dame, 3-point win over LSU, and that finishes out a lot of what we all thought was, well, just a disappointing SEC West showing in all their bowl games. I mean, it really was. Outside of Arkansas winning and Texas A&M winning, the two worst teams in the SEC West won their bowl games, while the best of the SEC fell flat on their face in many of their games. Bama, you gave it all you had, but Ohio State, they played the better game. Crazy, crazy, crazy game for Ohio State and Alabama. All right, we're going to take another quick break. We've got just a few minutes left here for our show tonight. If you want to call in, we've got 773-897-6179. Again, 773-897-6179. You're listening to College Football Today, powered by the fans. Hey, College Football fans, welcome back into College Football Today Live, powered by the fans. Got a few minutes left of the show tonight, and no callers tonight. That's sad. Wanted to have a pretty good fun show with the trivia, but we'll try again with the trivia again in another show. I know a lot of fans didn't know we were doing the trivia tonight until last minute, as I've heard on Facebook. We will definitely do this again. Believe me, I'm prepared for it. Got some great questions. We'll get into that, but let's spend the last minute of the show here. We're going to really talk about my way too early 2015 top 10 teams. Yes, I'm pulling what ESPN would do in this situation. When you run through your entire script, you run through your entire show, you got nothing else to talk about, you've beaten the snot out of the national championship game, and who's going to win that? By the way, my pick is Oregon. In case I left that out earlier, I'm rolling with Oregon in this game. I can't see that offense being stopped enough to the point of getting beat. But let's get into this here. My way too early 2015 prediction. And that comes in with a few question marks going into the season. Has the SEC really fallen? Has the SEC's reign truly ended? Have other conferences caught up with the SEC? Those are some of the questions going into the season. And I know SEC fans out there going, man, this guy's a real hater. No. I like it when other conferences are good enough and other teams are good enough to compete. And when, why do you want everything for yourself in the SEC? You can't have any bragging rights if you don't branch out and play some teams from outside the SEC and prove your mettle and prove how good you are. So, yeah, I don't mind seeing the SEC fall a little bit. Do I want them to end up like the Big East or now the American Athletic Conference? Absolutely not, and that'll never happen. There's too much money and too much great recruiting grounds down here in the SEC, and that'll never happen. But I tell you this, you know, Jim Harbaugh going to Michigan. You have Urban Meyer established at Ohio State. You have Oregon making a statement and getting to another national championship game. It's great to see other conferences and other teams play for these things and knock off SEC teams or Big 12 teams, whoever's up there at the top. It's great for college football. So, no, it's not SEC haterade, as some would like to call it. Yes, we're going to run a little bit over our allotted time tonight, and I planned for that. So, again, my way too early 2015 top 10, and this is in no particular order. However, I think Ohio State going into the season will be the preseason ranked number one team, regardless of who wins the national championship. You know, Oregon's going to have to reload. I think Ohio State's in really good position. They've established themselves. They've proven they can win the big game. And with the quarterback situation at Ohio State, they've got guys there that can play at that position. They're definitely going to be preseason number one. Now, as far as the other teams in my top 10, this is no particular order. I got Michigan State up there. TCU is going to be up there. Georgia Tech, I think, is going to be probably number 10. If I had to put a number on them, I don't think there'll be anything higher than 10, just because I think voters will want to see what they've got next season. They'll still hold the fact that they're in the ACC against them. Clemson's going to be up there. They've got a great Deshaun Watson, great quarterback. Excited about him if he can stay healthy. Oregon's going to be up there. I believe USC is going to make an appearance in that top 10, maybe that top 12. I think they're going to be that high. They might be 12. Kansas State, Arizona has a chance to be up there. But if I had to put it on there, Florida State, I think they could be up there. I know a lot is riding on whether Jameis Winston comes back or not, but I warn you, when you start to recruit at the level that Florida State has and you lose a guy like Jameis Winston, but you have the returning players that they have, don't get me wrong, they lose a lot of key players. Rashad Green, Nick O'Leary, four of the five offensive linemen are all gone. And then you factor in the fact that you might be losing Jameis Winston. There's still a lot of young talent there, and there's still great players waiting in the wings that are going to take over. That's what you do. When you recruit good, you don't rebuild, you reload. And I think that's what we're going to start to see with some teams that have been recruiting really well the last few seasons. Florida State's going to be in that top 10. Baylor, if I haven't already mentioned them. I think the biggest surprise next year will be USC. I'm excited to see what USC does out there in the Pac-12. They surprised me a little bit this year with some of their wins. They really did. I was really excited to see them. And again, college football is at its best when you start to see these teams that have been in the past pretty good. It's great to have a bunch of different teams up there in the top 10 cycling through and not the same teams, you know, and not seeing a bunch of SEC teams to where we're padding their stats so much. I think that's what happened this year. You saw Ole Miss and Mississippi State rise faster than any team in college football because we said, oh, they're in the SEC. Look what they're doing. They're winning a lot. We got to move them up. Well, we saw what happened. Reality set in, and they are not number one team or number two team or number five team or number six team or number eight team. They're not a top 10 team. We gave them the benefit of the doubt because of the conference they play in. That's what we have to get past in 2015. Get over it. Remember what they've done this year. Let's see what it looks like in 2015. I'm excited about 2015 season. It really is going to be exciting. Mainly because it'll be my first college football season with a child, but we'll see how that goes. It's been a great show tonight, everyone. I appreciate those who tuned in tonight. We've had a lot of fun. Again, we will try the college football trivia night, and we will give a heads up next time. I know this was last minute with the college football trivia, so we will give heads up next time, and we will have prizes to give away and all that good stuff. You've listened to College Football Today Live, powered by the fans. I hope everybody has a safe week. Again, get to those New Year's resolutions and stick to them. And everybody, enjoy the national championships next Monday. That'll be a great game. Ohio State and Oregon square off. I got Oregon. Thanks for tuning in tonight, everybody. Everybody have a great night.